Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Average Joe. I'm Average Joe, and you know what I'm doing? I'm being average. Thanks for joining the show today. Like I said, this is Average Joe. I don't know much about anything, but I know a little bit about a lot of things. And so we just, you know, we talk about a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I don't claim to be an expert in any of them necessarily, but I have dabbled in a lot of things. I have a lot of interest. And so, you know, and I'll usually try to surround myself with people who do know a lot of things about, or I know a lot about certain things. So today we're going to talk about technology. Technology, what's it all about? He is a friend of mine, but he's my grandson, Andrew. He likes to show me a lot of funny videos, and he showed me this video of Ali G. I don't know how many of you know who that is, but it was just a little satire about technology, and it was it kind of got me. That was one of my inspirations. But just, you know, I'm always, when I'm in the car, you know, thinking about things and what, you know, what are we going to do the show about this week, and just, you know, I'm always kind of got something going on in my noodle. If you want to call in, the number is 914-219-0884. I hope I've got some callers today. You know, we're going to talk about technology. And when you think about technology, I think most people would think about first, you know, would think about, you know, computers and electronics and modern aviation and, you know, the space program and things like that, automobiles and how they've progressed, and you know, just things like that. You know, things that are marketed as technology, I guess you would say. But you know, if we really think about technology, now I didn't do a Wikipedia or a Webster and just to define technology, and actually I have done that, and I think most of the time it references, you know, those kind of things, you know, electronics and computers and all that. But when I think of technology, well, let me backtrack it here. One thing I want you to do, if you want to call in, I want to hear from you, the just what technology do you think that's had the most influence on humanity, say in the last 100 years. If you've got any thoughts on that, I mean, I'll just tell you right off the bat, I have a lot of thoughts, but say in the last 100 years, I mean, I would say that the automobile has probably changed things, well, a lot. But anyway, let me back up again. So that's what I want you to think about. 914-219-0884. Tell me what you think. But when I think of technology, I think about the first time that a man ever used a tool. You know, the first time that we used something outside of our normal, you know, the thing that differentiates us from other animals, tools. You know, the first time that a primitive man used a rock or a stick as a tool to either kill another animal to eat, or to shape something or anything like that. And then, I mean, that to me is technology. I mean, that's, they're using their brain to find a better way to do something. When I was talking, I was having this conversation, well, not a conversation, but with a friend of mine, Gabe, and I think he's going to be dialing in here for shortly, and he had some thoughts on that. But you know, there's a lot of avenues to that. The number again is 914-219-0884. But I think about, you know, going, you know, talking about a rock and a stick, or even like the wheel. Now, I don't know when, how far back in history the wheel goes, but the wheel is a simple machine. And quite frankly, I mean, if you contrast that with a computer now, a computer is a machine. As a matter of fact, the first computers were actually mechanical. And so, you know, we've had computers around for a long time. It's just not what we think of as, a, you know, our laptop or our smartphone computer. We had computers, the ships used computers, mechanical computers for aiming their weapons and things like that. So it looks like we've got a caller here. I'm going to go ahead and take this call. Let's see. Hello, caller. This is Average Joe.
Hey, bud. It's Gabe. How you doing?
Oh, hey, Gabe. How are you? I'm good. Thanks for calling in.
You start talking about technology, you know, I have to. Can't quite help it.
Yeah, well, yeah. Let me just tell y'all, Gabe is definitely one of my fellow nerds. He's not just the nerd. He's the club president. But and that's a compliment, Gabe. So, Gabe, you gave me some, when we were kind of chatting back and forth last night, we had a text going, and Gabe's was just throwing back the waterworks. But I'm getting all tongue-tied here. But, Gabe, I won't try to tell them what you said. You tell me, or tell them what you said.
So, I find it funny because a lot of people get really kind of caught up on what you might think of as high tech when it comes to technology, but ultimately technology is what's enabled mankind to survive, right, and form civilization. So like water specifically, that would be the Roman aqueducts. Until we had a way to actually manage water to prevent bacteria from causing problems, in other words, prevent microbes from making people sick and dying, there was no mechanism to actually manage water where you could have larger than tribes, for example. Civilization really was able to grow as a result of that. And that's technology. But quite frankly, everything around us is technology or driven by some form of technology. So, for example, the caveman and tools you were saying earlier. Technology realistically is just the ability to use something, right? Whether it's a tool, a skill set, some knowledge that you have, a process in order to achieve an outcome. So whether that's, you know, being able to harvest, you know, crops, for example, if you were going to, you know, just hunter-gatherers use this all the time, right? So even at that level, it was being able to go out and collect food. That's a process. Hunting using tools, definitely that's technology. You know, people almost laugh when I tell them that the technology behind the Model A Ford was incredible. But quite frankly, anything along those lines, you have mechanical equipment that is doing a job for you, that was technology. Now, at that time, that was considered high tech, right? High tech today has a whole different meaning. But I guarantee you that the equipment that the farmers in Stanley County that they're using, some of it's incredibly high tech, quite frankly. You know, whether that's biological, you know, genetically engineered seeds, for example, the chemicals that we use to actually fertilize the ground and restrict pesticides to restrict bugs or whatever from damaging those crops. All of that is actually fairly high tech by today's standards. But technology is being like digital, right? Ones and zeros.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, a modern farmer, you know, obviously can, one man can do the work of probably what took thousands to do, you know, 100 years ago or especially 200 years ago, you know, just the machinery that they use. And you mentioned the Model T Ford, and then other cars back in, you know, turn of the century. You know, the funny thing is, you know, our cars are a lot more high tech now, but the combustion, internal combustion engine is still the same as it was in the Model T. It's just, it just works a lot better and it's a lot more efficient.
Yeah, the fundamentals haven't changed, right? You basically have a piston system, so it's the old system is it's a suck, squeeze, bang, blow, right? The four strokes of a four-stroke engine and two strokes is different, but regardless, those are the basics. And it's funny because while there are all of these great advances that have occurred in the automobile as far as around systems that are used to tweak things like ignition timing so that they're more fuel efficient and more powerful or able to produce more power, and there's been some advances there, the basics of that concept are still the same. And in fact, if you look in aviation, if you were to go out and buy a brand new piston powered airplane right now, there's really two companies that are the manufacturers of engines. It's going to be Lycoming and Continental, and they have not really done anything to change their engine design since really the 40s technically. In fact, to this day, if you were to rebuild one of those engines, you use a silk thread to actually space the cases of two engine blocks as you bring them together on a flat six. It's interesting. But again, silk thread works, right?
If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Right.
I want you to stay with us, Gabe, but I just want to throw the number out there because I invite anybody else to call in if they want to join the conversation. 914-219-0884. So Gabe, I was talking about, I mean, obviously what you said about water and the Romans and the aqueduct, and then that leads into agriculture, and that's kind of what's helped our society become a society and, you know, live in a larger community other than just a small tribe. But let's fast forward. Say in the last 100 years, I was saying that, to me, the automobile has had, if not the most impact, but probably definitely in the top three of things that have come along in technology. What would be your opinion on that? What would you say in the last 100 years has been our biggest kick in the butt for, you know, our society?
Probably two things. Number one would obviously be the development of the internet and the ability to communicate from one part of the globe to another within a fraction of a second to send information, whether that's in video form, audio form, data of some type, right? Whatever that is. But probably the most impressive thing has been the ability for us to, really grow or deal in scale metropolitan growth. So the ability to manage cities, so city planning, if you will, but that encompasses so many things, right? So the automobile, of course, is a big, big part of that. And if you look at how cities are grown in the use of highway infrastructure and systems to accommodate that, that is an area where on the one hand, it's been able to enable the scale of growth of societies, but unfortunately it's been very painful as to the fact that right now, anytime that you expand lanes on a highway, there's immediately a need to meet that expansion, that capacity. So there's something wrong with that model. It's like we're just building out and then immediately you're still going to have the same traffic and congestion problems that you had previously. There's all sorts of interesting arguments and conversations on how to better manage that. But quite frankly, I think that the ability to build out large infrastructure, so skyscrapers, for example, the underlying infrastructure behind it, foundational work and all the complexities of just basic plumbing, moving electricity and water around from point to point, quite frankly, is pretty incredible stuff.
So I think about, going back to the automobile, and I know I keep beating on the automobile, but just transportation in general.
That's a good example. Yeah.
Transportation in general, we started out with the steam engine, and, well, of course, we had ships before that. We had sailing ships, but so far as a technology to travel on land, you know, the train, the steam engine, and then along came the Industrial Revolution, which allowed people to have jobs and not have to, you know, just do what they had to do so far as growing their own food and that kind of thing. They had jobs and they had income, and then they actually had some money that was disposable income, which created even more need for, well, we need to figure out, well, even Henry Ford, you know, knew that we needed to, he wanted to pay his people well enough to allow them to at least buy the product that they were manufacturing. I'm just thinking out loud here. You know, if we had had the internet before we had, say, aviation, which I know that, you know, that wouldn't happen, but we wouldn't have as much of a need for aviation because we could travel virtually like we do now. You know, I just wonder if aviation would have advanced as quickly if we could communicate better across the globe than we could then, you know, when aviation was getting its roots. Just food for thought.
So, no, it's interesting, but think about this for a second. That would actually cause or spur the growth for aviation beyond curiosity, right? If you find out when that happened,
yeah,
but actually fueled rapid growth.
You're starting to break up a little bit there, Gabe.
Oh, sorry. I'm on my cell phone, and you know how it is.
Okay.
In Albemarle, it's not always great.
Yeah. Well, hold that thought for a minute. I've actually got another caller. I'm going to keep you on the line if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. We're going to pick up this other caller. Hello, caller. This is Average Joe, and we got Gabe here.
And this is Average Don.
Hey, Average Don.
How's it
going?
Gabe's technology was failing on him. I'm on a landline.
Yeah, I think it worked a lot better.
Technology isn't always good or reliable.
Well, one of the things I've noticed that you and he are focusing more on what you're calling the positive impact of technology. I come out of an environment where I had to deal more with the negative aspects with nuclear, chemical, biological weaponry and weaponizing even our food supply through GMOs and those things where everything's patented now, and I think it's undermining us. Are you following me?
Yes.
So that's an interesting point, right? And that's something I was actually going to get to in a little bit. I mean, technology is basically based on civilization's need or mankind, whatever, the need to accomplish something. But quite often that technology is used for really negative purposes, right? So if you I don't want to get into the political side of all this stuff, right? But I don't know many people who are big fans of Monsanto, for example, right? And they have incredible technology. But it's definitely been utilized to the detriment, many would say, various lawsuits are still occurring, of the small farmer, right?
Right.
And how that's no different. Aviation, same thing, right? We use it to fly around and travel from place to place or the transport of goods, quite frankly. But it was really designed as a military weapon. That is the major push in the evolution of aviation as we know. And almost every technology that we have can be utilized in a negative manner.
Well, the thing also that worries me about technology is that we're becoming so dependent, and I'm not politicizing either, but and Stan and I have talked a bunch about the EMP, whether it's solar flare or it's intentional, and essentially shutting down society and civilization as we know it, because we've lost the ability to maintain life without the technology. So as much as I understand there's an advantage, I also see a greater disadvantage to a lot of technology because it has the potential, essentially, of doing to us what the lead pipes did back in the Romans.
Interesting. So, right. So now you're
and I'll
like
let you go.
Philosophy.
I'll let you guys hassle this out now. But thanks, Average Joe and Average Gabe. Bye bye.
Thank you, Aaron.
No, I mean it's an interesting point, right? So now you're getting into the philosophy of technologies and whether or not it's better to ultimately build them and allow them to grow to a point where you have extreme dependence on them as a global society or not. My personal opinion, quite frankly, is that yes, there are substantial risks involved. So with EMPs, for example, what do we have in the United States? I don't remember exactly, but I think there's like 7 major transformer platforms throughout the global electric grid switching system. And of course, they're active and we don't have any standby systems. And an EMP of substantial magnitude would destroy them, and it would take about 1.5 to 2 years just to build one replacement, right? So, yeah, there's huge risk in that. But at the same time, you know, society has gone on. Society has continued to grow. There are a number of ways that obviously you could put an end to societies with the use of technologies. Just think of nuclear proliferation. Right. But quite frankly, I mean, at the same time, do you really want to be still stuck in the Stone Ages, even though there's the potential to go back to that time, you know, completely outside of
yeah.
your control?
Well,
does that mean
there's always risk. I mean, it's with anything. I mean, just like, you know, building wealth, I mean, there's always risk involved. And you know, it's... without the technology that could potentially kill us, you know, we wouldn't be as strong and powerful as a society as we are. So it's kind of it's all about balance. I'm most of the people that listen to this show, Gabe, are pretty nerdy. But just to clarify, the EMP electromagnetic pulse is just really. A pulse that's strong enough that it could actually take out all of the electronics in a given area, and you know, including computers, electricity, you know, the power grid, which would affect everything. I mean, you just take out the power grid and you've taken everything else out. So that's a scary thing. Now I'm going to take a left turn here, Gabe. We got about 7 minutes. This 30 minutes goes by pretty quick. And I appreciate you joining us today, by the way, Gabe. It was kind of short notice. And yeah, and you kind of volunteered. I mean, I recruited you when you expressed interest last night. But I appreciate you taking the time and doing this because I knew this would be a really good thing for you and I to kind of bounce off of each other a little bit. I was talking to another friend of mine last night at the VFW actually, and you know we were talking about this episode and he mentioned that now this is you know just bear with me here. He mentioned that he's more of the conspiracy that you know in the 50s when Area 51 and the alien ship crashed and all of a sudden our technology. In since that time has progressed further than say the Chinese did in 2,000 years, and they produced or invented gunpowder. You know where I'm going with that, Gabe?
Yeah. So first
what do you
off,
think about
Area
that?
51? Area 51 is a real place, right? There are people who work there. It's just a classified location. It's basically I think it's Lockheed's. Is it Lockheed's big? Secret facility, whatever. It's not like it's a real secret or whatever. I mean, if you go to Las Vegas and you stay on the Strip, right, and you're overlooking the McCarran Airport there, there's these 737s that are white with red stripes, and those guys fly into work every day. They live in Vegas and they fly in. They file a flight plan, and you can listen to them on, I think it's Flight Tracker or Live ATC, one of the apps. I listen to planes and, you know, air traffic controller stuff all the time, and you can hear them. They're the Janet flights, right? And it's Janet whatever, departing, following flight plan. They file a flight plan, they take off, and they go. But it's a research facility, right?
Yeah.
You know, we have several of them. Every country that, I would say, third world country has secret research facilities, and they partner with other nations. As far as aliens developing these technologies, I mean, there's a
pretty
sound...
sharing the technology with us, if that really happened. I mean, that's, you know, it's a conspiracy theory,
yeah.
I know, but, you know.
There's a solid historical track record that you can actually research that's very easily accessible to you, as far as the people who invented various technologies and the story behind how they did that. I mean, especially after World War II, right? Germany had some incredible scientists, and the United States and Russia basically, you know, went into a scramble at the end of the war to grab any of those German scientists that they could to put into various programs.
Well, I know
some personal experience with that one, right? So, I mean,
yeah, well, I know that's how we got to the moon, because we got the guy that invented the V2 rocket.
You got it.
And,
exactly.
And he helped to, you know, get the Apollo program, you know, off its feet or on its feet.
Exactly.
And that makes sense, what you're saying, you know, so far as the history and the timeline of how everything was developed. You know, I always think it's kind of fun to think about stuff like that, though. What if, you know?
Without a doubt.
So we've had shows about other technologies. We talked about television on one particular show. Haven't really had a show about computers. Quite frankly, I mean, I guess it's such a saturated topic that I really just didn't want to go there. There's probably a million people out there right now probably not listening to this show, but that know way more about computers than I do. But
let me say this. If you get into the technology side of technology, see what I did there. So high tech, right? Computer,
yeah, I get
whether
you.
It's big data, security, which is my forte, is information security, right? Protecting financial systems, HR, that kind of stuff from, you know, it's hacking and anti-hacking. If you get into that conversation, what I can tell you, and this is actually something that surprises a lot of people, there's actually a really large community of people in the Stanley County area that are really, really talented, that work for some incredible companies doing some really interesting things, whether it's in network infrastructure, security side, big data analytics, you name it. There are actually a lot of people here who work for companies like for me, I work from home. I've worked out of my office in my basement for 8 years. The company I work for is out of the Bay Area. So I fly to Pleasanton, California, and you know, whenever we have to have team meetings out there, or I just fly to my customers wherever they are throughout the world. And there's a lot of people in Stanley County that do the same thing. I mean, you're not talking thousands, but you'd be surprised. I keep running into people that are in the same industry, and it's growing. And Stanley Community College has actually had a big role in that, quite frankly. They've done some pretty incredible things. But my point is, pick a subject in a subdomain within that area. Guaranteed we can find some people who really know their stuff and can make for an interesting conversation.
That's awesome. Well, listen, Gabe, we're running up against the clock here, but again, I want to thank you for joining us. It was short notice, and, you know, I didn't even know we were going to be talking about technology until 2 days ago. I don't always plan that far ahead, but again, and thank you all for listening, all that's listening today, and all of you that will listen to the recording later. We appreciate your listening and your support. And I guess we're going to be out of here, Gabe. I hope you have a good week, and stay in touch, buddy.
Thanks, bud. You take care.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
All right.